Just to save any confusion after the meeting, maybe immediately after we close the meeting this morning, those who wish to come and stay for the prayer meeting, you could make your way into the kitchen there. We do trust that there'll be enough room there. If there's not, that'll be good. We can move back out here, but it will mean that you can get started as quickly as possible after the meeting. James chapter 1, I want to draw your attention to the first line of verse 5, where it says, "If any of you lack wisdom," let's just unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee today, Lord, sincerely, for thy goodness and mercy toward us. Thank thee, Lord, for every token of thy favour. Thank thee for thy presence with us. Lord, we're glad that we don't have to come to church to know the presence of the Lord, that we have the promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we do ask now as we turn again to the Scriptures that you would encourage us. We pray that we might be helped. We think, Lord, of the subject matter. And Lord, we do confess, Lord, that so often we find ourselves in need of wisdom, especially in God's work, in need of wisdom that is beyond ourselves. And Father, we pray now that the word might be helpful to all who listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing when you read the various Bible commentators that some of them have things to say about the book of James that you and I think I speak for everyone here when I say that we would find it very difficult to agree with them. For instance, some will refer to this epistle as the epistle of stubble and hay and wood and stubble. And others will suggest that this epistle of James is all over the place, that there's very little cohesion in it. And as you read through the verses, that there's very little by way of continuity, that the apostle James here, that he seems to jump from one subject to another without really finishing what he's saying about the thing that he draws your attention to. And while it is true that in this epistle of James there are not the vast number of verses, one after the other, of closely argued doctrine that you might find, for instance, in the book of Romans, we still have to say that in this book of James, which we believe is very, very important, that the sections are never so disconnected from each other that they're not of great benefit to God's people. Now, the passage that we've read this morning refers to wisdom. And that wisdom is found here in the context of difficulties or trials. It says there in those verses, there you have it in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." The word temptations, I think most of you are aware of this, it means trials. And the word count in that verse, you can look at it in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, when Paul was counting what he used to have before he came to the Lord, and what he had to say about that. It really means coming to a settled conclusion after weighing up all of the factors. Paul weighed up all of the authority and all of the respect and the honour and the prestige that he used to have. He weighed it up in comparison with what he had in true Christianity, and then he didn't think very much of it, what he used to have. He weighed it up, you see, and he came to the settled conclusion. Well, that's what the thought is here. Brethren, weigh things up. We could say you need to weigh it up when it's difficult in God's work. Never in my lifetime was it as difficult as it is today. We're very, very thankful for the encouragements we do have and for the open doors that there are. But never was it so difficult in God's work. But the reference here is to wisdom is in the context of trials. And it speaks there about patience, because God knew when God the Holy Spirit was giving the word that I would be impatient. And perhaps you would be as well. And we are to have that patience. So you will see that really this chapter is not disconnected after all. But when you look at the verses here, you can see that the reference to wisdom, it seems to be fairly general. And I believe that it may be applying to the need of wisdom in every respect. Whether you need it in your personal life, at home, whether you need it in God's work especially. And we do want to say that this wisdom is very, very important. The title of my message this morning is Needed Wisdom Available. Needed Wisdom Available. If you don't need any wisdom, then it doesn't really matter if you don't listen or not. But I do believe that we can all benefit from a look at this wisdom. I want to say, first of all, what is this wisdom compared to what is commonly looked upon in the world as wisdom? What is this wisdom compared to worldly wisdom? In other words, what's the difference in biblical wisdom? How can we really describe it? Well, the key to understanding what James is saying here is to get to the meaning of the word wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wisdom when it comes to being intellectual. Everybody appreciates that. There's nothing wrong with having natural ability in a certain field or having a certain amount of natural talent in something that you're trying to do. There's nothing wrong with being a clever person. There's absolutely nothing wrong with academic education. But the wisdom here is referring to something else. Paul was writing there to the church at Corinth, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, but I'm going to read from verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If any man defile the temple of God, next time a person comes to you and says it's okay to smoke, you could turn them to that passage and say, no, it doesn't say in the Bible that you're not to smoke. It doesn't say that you're not to destroy your body with substances. It doesn't say that you're maybe not to do those things, but it says you're not to defile the temple of God, that is your body. Look what it says. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Now listen to verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now, many who have wisdom according to this world, maybe they even have it in abundant measure. We're really reading here that they can be recognized at times by God as mere fools. Again, over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. And you can turn to a whole host of other references as well. And you can see that a man needs to look beyond himself for the kind of wisdom that we're reading about here. Wisdom that we've read about this morning is applying the knowledge found in the Bible to our daily lives. Therefore, it's very important that it goes without saying. It's very important that you read your Bible. It's very important that you will come and listen to preaching. I read just yesterday of a man who is in a certain area, in a certain context, said he's still a Christian, but he would never go to any church. Well, I think you should be where the preaching of the Word is. It's a trembling at the Word of God, but it's also a great delight in the Word of God. There's nothing negative about it. Over there in the book of Job, Job 28. This is what it says there in Job 28. It says in verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. If you reverence God, if you hold him in awe, if you recognize him as who he is, then you will want to do that which pleases him. And you'll be told how to please him by reading his word and by listening to his word. You can read similar words over there in the Psalm 111 and verse 10. I'll read it for you. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. So you can see very clearly here that indeed this wisdom is applying the knowledge found in God's word to our daily lives. I emphasize again, it's not a slavish fear, but it is a desire to please Him. This wisdom is a God-given, you could say it's a God-given insight into human circumstances and situations which enables us to follow God's will. You live in a confused world, broken world, and yet you can follow the Lord. You can know His will for the congregation. You can know His will for your own life. You can even follow after His will and do that which the world might think is foolish in order to follow His will. Why do you do it? Because you've got this wisdom. You've got this wisdom. And even when there are difficulties, as James was speaking about the various temptations or trials that had come, and he was exhorting the people to be patient. And he was saying here, if you don't have this wisdom, you can ask it of God. So first of all, we note here, what is this wisdom compared to what is normally called wisdom? This is based upon the Word of God. It's based upon the Bible. And if you have that kind of wisdom, brethren and sisters, you'll be looking for more and more of it. But I want you to notice secondly here, the use of this wisdom. Human reasoning is important. It would be wrong to say that human reasoning is wrong. Sometimes, as humans, we have to make important decisions and our reasoning comes into it, and it is important. But when you look out upon the world today, human reasoning is the, as someone said, it is the compass that guides the world with regard to its actions. You can see things happening in the world today and you think, well, that was a very unwise action. It is the compass that guides the world with regard to its decisions. It is the compass that guides the world with regard to its lifestyle, which so often leads to ruin. It is human reasoning. A very nice day on the 12th year in Agalee, and some of you discovered that I can actually work, because I was working in a stall selling cooking burgers for the Christian school to sell. And I was very pleased to look around, and saw very little evidence of consumption of alcohol. And I said that to some people. But I went to Scarborough on the 13th, where my wife was working in the stall, and it was a totally different story. I was absolutely appalled to see children, and that's what they were, many of them, whether they like to face up to it or not, 14 and 15 years of age, maybe younger than that, with their big bottles of Buckfast. And from where we were in the stall, right over to where the car park was, you were tripping over bottles on your way out. Everywhere to be seen, there was these young ones in their groups, and it wasn't only young people, but that was their, what they would look upon as their lifestyle. Their human reasoning tells them that that is the way to go. In fact, they were gathered, some of them, in their little circles with their stashes and their blue bags and all, long before we were there, and they were sitting ready to go. And as they consumed it, they threw the empty containers into the middle. And I would like to say to the congregation today, if there's one thing you can do for the families of this church, pray for all of the children. Pray for my boys. Pray for people here's daughters and everyone's sons, that God will save them early in life and that He will spur them from the kind of mess that those young people were involved in. Standing talking to a man just beside the stall for a while, and these two boys started to fight. Drunk. They managed to get them split up, but they were fighting later on as well. The whole crowd turned into a drunken brawl up the field a bit. But he said to me, Christian man, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, he said, my two oldest children, he said, I can do nothing with them. He said, I've done the very best I can, and he says, they're just running wild. And I don't want to be there. And I know that there's no parent here who wants to be there. And we would ask you today, sincerely, personally we would ask you, and sincerely, to pray for our children. That God will give them an appetite for spiritual things. And save them from the kind of mess that was very evident with so many young people there on the 13th of July. Now we need to remember that the Christian is saved for eternity, but he's incapable of making right judgments all the time if he just bases it upon human reasoning. So we really need to know how to use this wisdom. Well, part of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of the child of God is to wean him or her away from trusting in mere rational resources, and to make him or her look and listen for higher wisdom that comes from God. When it comes to planning missions, or when it comes to planning weeks of meetings and doing things here in the church, people are looking to the Lord. Some people wonder when you say that, oh, I'm looking to the Lord. You're looking to the Lord, you're listening. Yes, you're talking to God about it, but you're listening for him to speak to you through his word regarding the issue, whatever it is, and however experienced a Christian may be. If we're honest today, we will admit that very many times we lack wisdom, so we all fit into this category. If any man lack wisdom, we all fit in there. Remember Solomon, you can read about him over there in 1 Kings in chapter 3. He turned out for most of his reign, he was a very good king. He displayed exemplary wisdom. But in 1 Kings 3, when the Lord had asked him what he wanted, the Lord would ask me what I wanted, or you what you would like. We would have things that we would like. But I wonder, would wisdom be one of them? Well, Solomon asked for wisdom, and he asked for understanding. And how important it was that Solomon would have that wisdom and understanding. If you read about him in his life, you will see how important it was that he had this wisdom of God, and he knew how to use it. Over there in Proverbs chapter 4, it says there in verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of the father, and attend to understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let not thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You take those verses home yourself and study them very carefully, and you'll see how to, not only the value of wisdom, but you see how to use it. How to use this wisdom in your everyday life. It's to be brought in. In other words, you're to consult God in everything that you seek to do. Everything, especially in God's work that you seek to do, there is to be that consulting of God. And it may seem, of course, we're to pray and act wisely. We're not to act like fools, humanly speaking, in God's work. But it may seem to the world that sometimes your action, for instance, I know that in various places on the 12th there were people who had open airs. Some people take quite a laugh at that. Think about those fools. Can they not sit down and enjoy the sun and have a drink like the rest of us? But that is the world's way of looking at it. Wisdom was to have the open air to reach out to others. So an outreach car, an outreach trailer down in the field here in Athlone as well. Many tracts were given out, and some people walking by, they wouldn't have given it a second look. Now, a lot of people did take the literature, actually. And we have to say that we were pleased to see that there was remarkably little land in the ground compared to sometimes. But people look on and think, well, what on earth are those grown men doing with that? You see, they're bringing wisdom into what they're doing. They're being wise in what they're doing. They're using it to promote the word of God. And as we look forward to this week with our boys and girls, please do pray. Pray for all those who take part. But pray for Robert McConnell, that he will know wisdom as he speaks to the boys and girls. And that pray that every one of us in the church here will know how to use this wisdom in our actions. That we know how to use it regarding our decisions. And when it comes to lifestyle, that our young people will know it. How to use this wisdom. I would be very naive if I said to you, when I looked across the field in the 13th, to say, oh, there are no young people involved in any of this that were brought up in Christian circles, Free Presbyterian circles. That would be a mistake to do that. Because the man I was speaking to, that I told you about, he was a Free Presbyterian. And his children were brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. And the older two are going completely mad. Drinking the bit out. Breaking his heart, and there's nothing he can do. The use of wisdom. But notice also that God bestows this wisdom. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You and I may be able to look back and say, well, I haven't been wise all of the time. sometimes even in God's work, I've endeavored to do something and I didn't go perhaps the right way about it. And you realize very clearly that you lack wisdom. Well, it says in this verse, let him ask of God. In other words, if you want wisdom today, you don't need to sit down and to try to somehow or other wreck your mind and wondering, how can I be wiser here? You need to get before the Lord. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very logical and powerful way, opened up to his disciples the blessedness of the Christian life. It is in the part of the Bible that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember he was speaking to them there and he was telling them and showing them the possibility of them living in a way that he encouraged them to do so. He knew their fears and he knew every thought of their hearts. He knew they were probably thinking, how can we possibly live in a way that the Lord is saying in this sinful world? If you look there in Matthew chapter 7, this is what it says in verse 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord is saying, ask for help. And in James we're told, ask the Lord for wisdom. I have to say here that when you come to the Lord asking for wisdom, you need to mean it. You need to mean it, for you'll also read in that chapter about the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If something has to be decided and you come to the Lord, your mind's already made up. Then you say, Lord, give me wisdom in that. The Lord directs in a certain way and we go the other way. Well, the wisdom, they haven't shown much wisdom. But here in Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. They had to seek strength in order to live as he directed. If you look in verse 11 of that chapter, he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You would hardly give your child a bad gift. May not be a very expensive one, but you wouldn't consciously give them a bad one, something that was bad for them. So we can take it here that every Christian fits in here. If ye then, being able, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, shall your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? One of those good things is wisdom. The men in Matthew 7 needed it. Those who were written to in James chapter, James's epistle, they needed it as well. And we could look upon this morning and say that perhaps the greatest human barrier to becoming biblically wise is the feeling, well, it's not going to be me. It's going to be the minister or one of the elders, or it's going to be one of the committee men, but it's not really for me. Well, look what it says there. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Giveth to all men liberally. So when we say that God bestows this wisdom, what do you need to do this morning to have it? You need to ask for it. Ask for it from an honest heart, and the Lord will give you that wisdom. And like the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, James here gives the encouragement to ask. You will see that this occurs in verse 5 twice. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then he says it shall be given in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. Do you see where it says liberally there? That giveth to all men liberally. That word liberally comes from a root word that means singleness or simple. Singleness or single. And that root is used in the context very often of having a single eye or being single-minded. In other words, it is saying here that God is unwavering in his intention to give wisdom to those who ask. That's what it's really saying when it says that he giveth to all men liberally. God is unwavering in his intention to give wisdom to those who seek him for wisdom. Is that not enough to have us come and ask him for wisdom? I tell you, every gospel minister's corn glad that this verse is in the Bible. Let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Notice there where it says abradeth not. The word abradeth means to rail on someone. It's awful when you see a person railing on another person, especially if they're Christians. but it does happen. It means to chide as well. But it says here, and abradeth not. The words literally mean, giveth to all men liberally or unwaveringly without finding fault. What does that mean to you and me? It means that God does not scold us because of our past weakness or of the fact that we've shown a lack of wisdom. The context really means that God does not give according to your worthiness, your feeling of worthiness. He does not give according to my feeling of self-worth, but his giving is governed by his nature and not ours. It also carries the meaning of generosity. So as you look at this verse and you see that God giveth wisdom to all men liberally, he's ready to do it and to give it unwaveringly. And he's not going to scold you because you didn't show wisdom 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago and you tried to do something for God and you didn't make a very good job of it and you've tried to do very little since. James is really encouraging us here to come to the Lord again. Come to the Lord and ask him for wisdom and for help, that even in our everyday walk that we might know this wisdom. So if we ask for this wisdom continually, we may expect him, and confidently, we may expect him to bestow it upon us. So through God's word, we understand him directing us. Through the teaching of his Holy Spirit, God impresses us to go in a certain direction. His Holy Spirit never works at variance. The Holy Spirit never works at variance with the Word, but it always works in harmony with the Word. Someone said not that long ago, he was really grieved to hear it, as a Christian, that it's not taking a drink that's the problem, it's getting drunk. That really disturbed me. And I don't know if it disturbs you or not, but it really disturbed me when young people hear that kind of language, because one drink leads to what we saw in the field of 13th. So in my opinion, that was totally out of place, totally wrong, the wrong thing to say. You see, God's word speaks about woe to him that giveth his neighbour drink. Woe to him that, doesn't matter if it's one or a lot of drink. So if you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you'll want to do that which is for the benefit of mankind, and especially that which glorifies the Lord. And I wonder this morning, when we ask ourselves about this wisdom, have we really asked God for it? And have we really been able to put it into practice in our own lives? Are we going along just acting upon human reason? Something seems convenient, or human nature wants to take the easy way out. And we just do it. And because it seems to work out, we turn to the Lord and say, well, the Lord give us that, that's good. And the Lord maybe did bless your effort. But there's a big difference in that and looking to the Lord for this wisdom and putting it into practice. And if the tide is against you, still putting it into practice. And if the flesh calls, still putting it into practice. And when the world laughs, still putting it into practice. You know, God has given many promises to his people. And there was a great one that was given to one of his servants over there. Maybe you would turn to this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Thinking here of this wisdom, which affects our walk with God and what we do for him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Context here is the life of King Asa. We've referred to him before. And there's a great verse in verse 9 of that chapter. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect be toward him. And we have to say, as we have done before, concerning Asa, that many a time that was the case. The Bible says that Asa did that which was right and good in the eyes of the Lord, but didn't do it all his life. And towards the end of his reign here, sadly we have to say that he didn't act wisely at all. Great promise that you can take today. He says, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You can hold on to that, but here's the condition. It says, herein thou hast done foolishly. From henceforth thou shalt have wars. You see, the way Asa behaved in forming that alliance with Ben-Hadad, His heart wasn't perfect. He was filled with fear and apprehension. And then we know all about Hanani coming to him and saying, "Listen, King Asa, we love you, but this was a mistake." And then he put some of them in prison, and he impressed them very hard in his own people. Why? Because he didn't show the wisdom that he should have shown. And the promise was there that God would be with him if he continued to walk with him. That was the condition. In other words, when you look at Asa's, this chapter 16 in the book of Asa, you could write over it, missing God's best. He's still the king. Seemed to go on. Things went on, not as they were, but they went on for him anyway. But you could write over that chapter missing God's best. Why? Because he didn't have this wisdom at that time. And he didn't put that wisdom into place. And he didn't ask God for that wisdom. And you read chapter 16. He acted upon human reason. And that's all. Human reason. That was his compass. He was a reformer in his earlier days. A mighty man, we have to say. But in this chapter, he was a man who was guided by human reason, and he missed God's best. And we would not want to miss God's best as individuals. We would not want to miss God's best as a church. And I trust that the Lord will help us to use this wisdom, to ask God for it every day, and to look for God's leading in His Word, to try to live in a way that is in keeping with His commands. There's one final thing here, and I'll just mention it. That is the preciousness of wisdom. It's found over there. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. This is what it says in verse 10. "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to her." I trust we said enough this morning about this wisdom to have you and I understand the importance of James's words when he said, "If any man lack wisdom," that includes me, "let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally." He's ready to do it. He's ready to give it now. "Let him ask of all men of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not." You failed before, you need to bury it. You didn't make a very good job of what you tried to do. You need to let it go. And get up and go on. Some weeks ago, Dr. Alan Kearns did a series of meetings in Ballymagurney Church, and I was able to go on two occasions. And the theme for the week was getting up and going on with God. Getting up and going on with God. And brethren and sisters, if you failed before, that is what we need to do. Look to God for wisdom now. And bring Him into everything. And look to God to give the increase, and pray as if everything depended upon God, and then do what you do as if everything depended on you. But don't forget to bring Him in. Remember what we looked at one time in the book of Malachi regarding God's jewels, and it says that they thought upon His name. The word "thought" means they counted Him in. The word "thought" was a word that was used to describe the action of an accountant. Accountant counts things into a book. When you're to count the Lord in, they that thought upon His name, they counted Him in. That made all of the difference. We need to count Him in. And if we have this wisdom, we will certainly count the Lord in. I trust the Lord will bless the church this week, that it will tell for eternity, working with the boys and girls, and bless us in the days that lie ahead as well. Now we're going to turn to 388 and sing just a couple of verses. Do remember, please, right away after we go to the door, and those who are staying to pray, you can make your way to the kitchen and meet there for a short time of prayer together, please. 388, closing hymn.